prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have an amazing show planned for you today. During the first half hour, my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, is going to join us to talk about a phenomenon that took place back in the 80s at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. It was the Breakfast Club of Champions. I'm going to talk to Dr. Jeff as we reminisce and go back down memory lane to talk about some of the most amazing athletes who got together to convene to have breakfast in the morning and share the secrets that ended up helping to build what bodybuilding is today. Then we're going to be joined by Elizabeth Quintana, a registered dietitian who recently published a study on cholesterol levels improving with weight loss. And get a load of this, a healthy fat-rich diet. Contrary to what doctors tell their patients, oh, your cholesterol is high, you have to cut out all the fat. We've been saying that that's nonsense forever on this show, and we now have research that points in that direction. Then, top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Thomas Seyfried. Dr. Seyfried's been on the show before. We're going to talk about a ketogenic diet versus chemotherapy in treating cancer. Very, very exciting show today, and let's get it started.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Hey, Dr. J, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, Carl?
Good, good. I heard you put on some muscle by using Thrive for your post-workout protein powder. Is that true?
Yes, man. I actually have. Yeah, it's been pretty fun just within like the last 2 weeks.
Did you see the I posted a meme this morning, and it's pretty cool, and it really is the truth. You know, I got into a discussion yesterday about who formulated Thrive, and I could not take credit for it. I said, nature formulated Thrive. 4.6 million years of evolution produced the perfect protein food for humans in mother's milk. All I did was follow the blueprint.
Yep. And you know, it's kind of funny because guys have been noticing the last couple weeks just my strength and stuff going up. And of course, the first question is, all right, what are you working on?
Right, right.
I'm like, well, I'm done working. It's already out, man.
This is amazing stuff. I can't wait for people to try it. I can't wait. Yeah. So let's go back down memory lane for a second. Woo-hoo. Back to the 80s, when you were a professional bodybuilder living in Venice, California, really the mecca of bodybuilding in the United States at that point in time. And there was an amazing phenomenon that took place, wasn't there?
You know, it is. And I think this is one of the stories. Whenever I get talking to people about bodybuilding, everybody wants to know, hey, tell me about, you know, Gold's Gym. What happened back there? You know, if you remember the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, pumping iron days, those were in the 70s, and that's kind of when it started. But really, as you got into the 80s is when, you know, most of the guys that and gals that we still remember were part of that whole Gold's Gym thing. It was pretty cool.
It could be said that the 70s created the launch pad for what bodybuilding would become. But in the 80s is when the amazing amount of muscle that was added to the bodies really started to happen. The Dorian Yates phenomenons, Robbie Robinson phenomenons. I mean, you got Gronkowski. I mean, these guys were stepping on stage at 250, 260, ripped to shreds, and it was like, oh, my God, what happened just in 10 years? What happened?
Yeah, the beautiful physiques. And, you know, for those of you who may not have heard of Gold's Gym, it was started by Joe Gold, where Gold's Gym came from. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny. I'm not quite sure the whole story, but he ended up selling that and starting World's Gym. Well, when I got there, Gold's was in its third location. This is the present location. It was just one building. And if you wanted to be successful in bodybuilding, you needed to come to Venice Beach, California, the Mecca, Gold's Gym. You know, that's where Joe Weider hung out, supposedly. Right. But that's where everybody came because, you know, the judges, you know, actors, producers, I mean, everything that had to do with anything, you know, really started at that Gold's Gym.
You know, there's lots of meccas for different sports, right? You know, if you want to be an MMA fighter, the place to live today is Las Vegas, Nevada. There's a lot of really great MMA fighting camps there. And Gold's Gym was like that back in the day. If you were serious about bodybuilding, and it didn't have to be to become a bodybuilder, you may have been a powerlifter, you were interested in strength, you could have been an aspiring actor. You know, who I interviewed one time many, many years ago for another radio show. I can't think of his name now. He's a very popular actor right now, super muscular, John Cena. John Cena, he lived in one of those, there were people that had houses that bodybuilders would live in for free while they trained. It was like a bodybuilding camp.
You know, and it was all within about a 2 mile radius, because we all lived, you know, either in Venice Beach, or right around that area. Most of us couldn't afford Marina Del Rey, which was kind of right next door at that time. So, you know, you either rented an apartment from somebody or you kind of had an efficiency. But everything went and revolved around the gym, the beach. I mean, it was all that. As a matter of fact, like, I think for the first 3 years, I didn't even know there was anything outside of that Gold's Gym area where I could walk. I didn't even know there was Los Angeles or even the state of California.
That's so funny. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you know something magical was going on there? Did you recognize, did you think to yourself, someday we're going to look back at this as an amazing time? Or were you just so caught up in training, the camaraderie, competing, that you didn't really realize that someday we would look back at that period of time?
I don't think I did. You know, when I moved out there, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about it. I was kind of new in bodybuilding, coming from Ohio. And Steve Davis, who was competing, was for the America, said, let's go out to Venice, you know, and train for the summer. You know, I got memberships, I got jobs. Okay, sounds good, you know. And again, I only knew, you know, the education of a bodybuilder, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was reading Muscle and Fitness. So all of that was Gold's Gym. So to me, you know, that's where it started. But when I got out there and really got into it, I became a part of it. And I never thought about, you know, what was going to happen tomorrow, let alone 10, 20, 30 years ago. It was just a way of life. You know, there was us and we were normal. And then there was everybody else that just didn't fit in. And, you know, you saw when you actually kind of went outside the boundaries and went to the mall or something, then you could kind of see, wow, you know, I mean, I don't really fit in here. These people are different than me. So kind of, you know, like I said, stuck together, but really didn't think of anything, because it was just a way of life.
That exact phenomenon was discussed in the movie Pumping Iron, when they're all laying on the beach and Arnold, and they're talking about some people that had nothing to do with training, just some people, and Arnold referred to them, and everybody referred to them as regular people. Well, you know, does he train? No, these are regular people. Like, as though the bodybuilders were super people and everybody else was regular people.
And that's kind of how we felt. You know, we didn't treat them with disrespect, but to us, if you didn't develop your body, you were just kind of a normal person. You weren't a super person. That's what we were. You know, we weren't above you, but we were in a different, you know, a different grade, a different class of individuals. You know, we didn't, you know, we were athletes, but again, we didn't really think of ourselves as being athletes. You know, it was just really a way of life. I always tell athletes that, you know, bodybuilding is the only sport where there was no off season. I mean, it was a 365 day a year job, you know.
Right. I know. So do you really believe that the 1980s was the true, the last golden era of bodybuilding?
I do. I mean, you know, I know that, you know, there's some things happening at Gold's Gym, and there's still a few of my old time friends down there. But let me tell you, you know, back then, Gold's Gym really adhered to bodybuilding, because that's how it started. So it was right before the whole, I call it aerobic era.
Yeah.
You know, where
Frank Shorter started running. Everybody started running. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and they started using the sports clubs as a social place. Prior to that, I mean, it was old rusty weights and, you know, get out of our way. We're there to train. So when I went out there, that's really what it was about. But what I realized real early is that during the day, the normal people started to come into the gym. So all of us serious bodybuilders, we would get there at 4 in the morning, and we would be done before the normal people came. And when we came back in the afternoon around 3-ish, again, there was nobody in there because they were all at work. We just got done at the beach, and we come back for our second workout. So we've kind of all picked times where, you know, there was just us. And if a normal person were to come in, hopefully they'd stay out of our way because, you know, you didn't want to get in the way if we were supersetting or you tried to, you know, get in on our weights or something like that.
Now, there was another phenomenon that occurred. I mean, an amazing pool of talented bodybuilders all converged on Venice Beach at that point in time. And obviously that phenomenon was kind of like Arnold and that group were the poster children for like, hey, come here, get big, get strong. So you had a lot of people from, like you, from Ohio and different parts of the country moving there just because, like moving to Hollywood to become an actor, to be discovered. They were moving there to become bodybuilders, but they, obviously there was a great bond and camaraderie, and there was a phenomenon that took place that you like to call the Breakfast Club. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was so cool because, you know, growing up in Ohio, it was very cliquey. You know, if you weren't somebody, you probably weren't going to associate with somebody at the gym. You need to either be at a certain level, or you can only associate with amateur people at your level. When I went out there, right off the bat, you know, as I started to train and I built respect just by, you know, training, not bothering anybody, I got to meet guys. And one of the cool things was, is it didn't matter whether you were, Samir Banoot, you know, Mr. Olympia, or you were just me just entering the scene. We all became friends. And that was what the cool thing is, you know, there were no secrets. You know, I remember Tom Platz, you know, sitting down and telling me everything he ate. I could go to, you know, Chris Dickerson, you know, Frank Zane, all these guys. I mean, they were very open. There was no secrets. The secret was, however you looked, I mean, whoever worked the hardest was going to win. Not like today where, you know, everything is secretive, how you do things. So that was what I really appreciated. And the same, you know, I shared with all the new guys what I did, what worked. And then, you know, we all train together. You know, you would kind of have a normal training partner, but, you know, you'd come into the gym and Lyle Ozeda would be there or Mike Christian. And, you know, I'd go, hey, who's doing chest today? And the barbarians would go, I'm doing chest. Come on, let's all do chest. And then there'd be six or seven of us doing chest.
And that you know, you really feed off of that camaraderie. You train harder. You feel motivated when you have people around you like that, don't you?
And it did, you know, it motivated me, but I know that, you know, I also motivated them. I always tell the story once about I came in and my training partner and I were getting ready to do legs, and Tom Platz's training partner was out of town or something. And he said, hey, can I do legs with you guys? Oh, come on, Tom, let's go. Now, I knew that we had different training styles, but of course, I'm going to outshow him. He's going to outshow me.
Right.
So we pop 135 up on there, and, you know, Tom does it about 200 reps. And, you know, I do 15 just to warm up. Tom then goes to 225, and he pops out about 15. And he goes, are you going to jump that high? And I go, oh, no, I'm not going to go to 225. And he starts taking it off. He goes, what do you want, like a dime? I go, no, put 405 on there. He's like, Jeff,
so you went right from 135 to 405.
Yeah, but Tom, 135 is just to get the blood flowing. 405 is light. So I get under there, no D reps, and I pump out like 15, and I'm talking. I'm going, so you see, Tom, this is what I like to do. He's looking at me going, you're crazy.
That's
funny. You know, we continued on, but I just added 45 pounds, and I think I ended up like 800 pounds, and Tom, you know, quit at 405. And we got done, and he was like, you know what? I ain't trading legs with you no more. And
that's
I go,
funny.
Good, because I'm not trading with you either.
That's hilarious. The Barbarian Brothers were pretty interesting. I interviewed one of them. He became a professional photographer later on in life, and I interviewed one of them for another radio show. He had just done a coffee book, a coffee table book, and it was all from some of his best shots that he took of bodybuilders in different settings, and it was amazing. I mean, the guy is really, really talented. One of them is still out there. The other one, I think, kind of went off the deep end, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and that's David. He's still out there doing his movies and stuff. And, you know, those guys were very interesting because in the 70s, you know, they started to get a lot of play in the magazines. You know, here they are with their overalls, their twins, their big, you know, boots. And when I got out there, they trained like me. So, you know, we kind of got to know each other real quick. Because I trained in, I didn't train in overalls, but, you know, I wore flannel shirts. I'm from the Midwest, you know, right. I wore boots when I squatted. So again, it was a lot of fun, you know, training with those guys. And again, you know, just some of the stories, it was hilarious. I probably got more stories than anything, but I remember one morning coming in and, David every morning, would ask either me or Mike or Peter, how he looked. Did he look big? And, you know, we stroked each other's egos. Well, the guy was huge. So right. He'd be like, David, you look huge. Come on. Let's get on with the workout. Okay. And then he turned to his brother and go, Peter, do you think I look big? And Peter would mess with him and go, you know, actually, David, you look a little small today. And he'd go, can I leave? I'm not training. And he'd leave.
That was it.
He had to go eat more.
I heard that those two guys were the biggest pranksters. They would play jokes on a lot of the other guys in the gym, and sometimes their pranks would end up in fist fights, I've heard. I mean, so they were really characters, real characters.
They were, you know, there were a lot of fights. Them and Lyle Azedo used to get a lot of wrestling matches and things. But, yeah, but, you know, it was just, again, part of that. So you had, you know, jokers like the Barbarian Brothers. You had, you know, Mike Christian, who was a little more – he was kind of a funny guy. Then you had, you know, Janice Reagan and Tanya Knight. Rachel McLeish was there. Larry Appella. As I said, you know, Chris Dickinson, Robbie Robinson. I mean, all of the, you know, the 70s guys who were kind of finishing up in the 80s and in all the 80s. I remember Vic Richards coming out there as a 18-year-old, you know, I mean, wow. Just coming in and wanting to be part of the gang. And, you know, we kind of said, yeah, come on in, man, you know, hang out with us.
Yeah, that's so cool. And, we have to take a break. But what I want to do when we come back is I want to talk about the way you trained back then and the way bodybuilders train today. Did we learn more? Is it new technology that we're leveraging, or have we forgotten our roots? Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Jeff as we reminisce about the golden era of bodybuilding. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Leave.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Ladies and gentlemen, right about now, let's get ready to rumble still.
Welcome back. Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang Clan, baby. Oh, dirty bastard. ODB. Rest in peace. Okay, so we're talking with Dr. Jeff today. We're really reminiscing, going down memory lane, talking about the 80s at Venice Beach, really still to this day the mecca of bodybuilding. And so what do you think, Dr. J? When you look at the way you guys trained and the results you got, and you look at the athletes today, and there's some monsters today. I mean, you look at guys like Kai Greene. I mean, these guys have really pushed the envelope of attainable muscle. Do you think the style of training back then is different than today, or is there something else going on?
You know, guys like Kai Greene, you know, Ronnie Coleman, they trained how we used to train.
Interesting.
And the best way to describe it is intense. I mean, there was no conversations. There was no messing around. We'd mess around, you know, before we got started and then later on. But during the workout, no. You know, you were respectful. When somebody was squatting, you wouldn't go take their squat rack when they went to get a drink. But if you left that gym on a leg day, then you had no business training with us, because you better be crawling out. I mean, that's how intense and how hard we trained. And we didn't have all the supplements and things that they have today. So, I mean, we were training on, you know, raw intestinal fortitude. I mean, power.
Right.
You know, to get to those type of workouts. There was no, you know, carbolin and, you know, creatines and things. I mean, it was, you know, my pre-workout was 2 pieces of sourdough toast with a banana spread on it. And that's what got me through a workout.
Wow.
Coffee.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there was no pre-workout supplements back then at all, huh?
Now, you know, we had the old the caffeine pills and things that you wouldn't use all the time, you know, because they're just too strong. And again, you didn't want to be tired the rest of the day because you had to come back and train again. You know, you had to go pose. You know, you had something to do. So we didn't use a lot of that kind of stuff. Right. It was most of us all drank coffee. And then we hit the gym, you know, really not much in the stomach, and you just went after it. But again, I think that's what makes the difference between a champion, and somebody who does it for fun. Is today I see people in the gym and they're talking, they're walking around between sets. There was no rest. You know, you did one set, your training partner jumped on. Right after that, you were there. You know, you didn't even have time to rest.
Right.
You know, when it was time for a drink, then we'd go over and get a drink of water, but we'd come right back. You know, right. you wouldn't get on your cell phone in between a workout or none of that kind of garbage.
I saw a guy doing leg presses the other day, and he was on his phone, and he was either texting or posting and social media, but he's doing reps and he's looking at his phone and he's typing away. And my attitude is, if you can do reps and be on your phone at the same time, you're not training hard enough.
No. And you know, if you wanted to take a picture of us, you better go to the balcony. Don't come out there if it wasn't a scheduled photo shoot, because again, you're going to disrupt training.
Right.
Again, the concentration, you know, if you would have seen our faces, I mean, you would have thought we were angry all the time, but that's intensity. You know, Tom Platz used to preach that when you get to that point, in an exercise that you want to quit, you know, where most people go to 10 and then that's when you actually start, you know, when the lactic acid builds up, it's what happens after that. So, yeah. You know, we were fighting through those pain barriers. And you've seen a lot of videos with Arnold. I mean, just going to failure. I mean, that's how we train day in and day out. There was no such thing as an off season, 3 days on, 1 day off, and it would start all over again. Wouldn't matter whether it was a bulking stage, pre-contest, contest, the intensity level was like that, like I said, all year long, and everyone was that way.
You know, it's funny because I believe that same thing. I think of it as equity. So if you're at your 10th or 12th rep in something and now your muscles are burning and everything in your body is telling you you're done, that is when the real progress can happen. That's like paying – stopping then is like paying your mortgage right up to the last payment and then defaulting and walking away from all that equity. You have equity in that movement when the pain starts. And I don't mean elbow pain. I don't mean joint pain. I mean the muscles are burning. Lactate is building up. Your brain is telling you, we don't want to do this. It hurts. And pushing through it, that's the equity in the movement. That's when the real work starts, those last couple reps.
Absolutely. And we got stronger as we got closer to walking on stage. You know, there was none of this, you know, out of energy, I'm on a diet. Who cares? You know, dieting just meant you were in contest mode. So we would say, you know, are you dieting? And all that would mean is, okay, we gave up dairy, you know, and we're in contest prep. But the other thing that we realized was the importance of sleep and food. I mean, we would go down to the beach and we would sleep. And obviously, you know, we all had kind of part-time jobs here and there, work nights, just to get by on. But, you know, I made sure I got a minimum of 8 hours a day, you know, sleep.
Right.
And then food was by the schedule. I mean, I would not miss 1 minute. I don't care where I was at.
Right.
I remember a couple of times being out at Disneyland and, you know, having to sneak food in because I had to eat at the That's how all of us were. I mean, you know, food, sleep, rest, training. I mean, it all worked together. You know, it's more than just training to put on muscle.
Yeah, it's and really, at the end of the day, what you described is complete discipline. Do you still keep in touch with some of the people from back then?
Oh, yeah. You know, we were still in touch. It's kind of funny. You know, Rick Valenti and Mike Aparo and Charles Glass are the last of the old timers that are still, you know, independent trainers down there at Gold's Gym. And God bless them because, you know, they've been doing that for so many years. And, yeah. And you know, whenever we talk, it's always about the old days. Nobody really talks about what we're doing now. We like reminiscing. It's just a great time. And if you talk like to anyone who was there, I was talking with Mike Christian the other day. And the first thing is, man, we had some fun, didn't we? Oh, man, you know, those were the days. I mean, just training and living, you know, that was really living the dream.
I would,
you know, if there was such a thing.
I would love to be able to grab a camera and fly with you back there, arrange to have all those people who were at those breakfast club meetings sit down at a table somewhere, grab a bite to eat, and just tape all the stories that everybody has. I mean, that would be so cool. We should think about doing that.
That would be fun because I know whenever I run into somebody, it was kind of funny. A few years ago, James DeMello was another big bodybuilder from there. I hadn't seen him in years, and he came out and stayed at my house, and he's now a minister. So my wife thought we'd be talking about, you know, his ministry. She goes, for 3 days, all you guys did was talk about the old days. Solid.
And it was
That's
like,
hilarious.
Really?
But, you know, I run into Tom Platz. We don't go, how's it going? Hey, remember when, you know, just start reminiscing. But, yeah, it would be fun. I think
we should plan on doing that. We should really plan on doing that this year sometime, maybe.
Yeah.
We have to look into it. All right, listen. It's been great walking down memory lane. And one thing is for sure. To be a bodybuilder, you have to have great discipline. It's not a sport for the timid or weak of heart, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing a little different on the show. And as you know, you can always contact Dr. Jeff on Facebook. Go to Superhuman Radio. Ask questions. Anything I can do to help out, that's what I'm there for.
And don't forget, he's Supplement Santa. I just saw a picture somebody sent about you, about a big box that they got from you with all sorts of good stuff. So don't forget, Dr. Jeff is Supplement Santa. All right,
well, hey, and one thing I wanted to, I wanted to tell you real quick is I've got a bunch of leftover product from football season. So, again, people are actually getting live bottles now. So,
oh, dude. So there you go. Go to Ask the Scientist on superhumanradio.com and ask Dr. Jeff for something free. Listen, we'll see you next week, brother.
Take care, man.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the realities of cholesterol and fat in the diet. This would be good. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage, promote joint mobility and flexibility, replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit Coach Rob Regis or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Don't forget, top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Thomas Seyfried to talk about the ketogenic diet versus chemotherapy and treating cancers. Very, very important discussion. Right now, we're going to talk about the role of fat in the diet. Cholesterol levels improve with weight loss and healthy fat-rich diet. We're joined right now by Elizabeth Quintana. She is a registered dietitian. She is over at the University of California at San Diego School of Medicine. How you doing,
Elizabeth? I'm doing really great. Nice to be with you.
Oh, thank you for being here. So, you know, we've been talking about this. This is our 11th year on the air. A long, long time ago, we figured out, and I say we, this audience, that cholesterol was not so closely tied to fat in the diet, but definitely more so carbohydrates in the diet.
Correct.
But it's real hard to get the mainstream medical orthodoxy to trust this notion, because they've been told over and over again that if you want to lower cholesterol, you must lower fat, especially saturated fat, in the diet. So talk about this particular research. What questions were you trying to answer in this study?
You know, interesting. We were looking at a lot of different things. A lot of our research points to breast cancer and breast cancer survivors. We're interested in looking at postmenopausal women because they're mm-hmm. at risk for developing breast cancer, whether or not you've had cancer prior to menopause. So our study wanted to look at three different diets. We wanted to see if a lower fat, which was 20% fat, higher carbohydrate diet, which was 65% carbs, was going to be any different in weight loss and hormonal and inflammatory factors, including lipids, compared to a lower carbohydrate diet, which was 45% carbs and 35% fat, and the fat was mostly monounsaturated fat, and also compared to another lower carbohydrate diet, which was 45% carbs and 35% fat. But 18% of that fat was going to be walnuts. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to see if there was going to be a differential weight loss response if you were insulin sensitive or insulin resistant on either of those three diets. We also wanted to see if any of the hormones or inflammatory factors or lipids would have a differential response depending on if you're insulin sensitive or insulin resistant on any one of those three diets. And then they wanted to also look at some of the inflammatory factors in general to see if there was anything different with across the diets as well.
So what hormone specifically did you look at?
They looked at sex-binding globulin, estrogens, C-reactive protein. They looked at IL-6, tumor necrosis factor, insulin. I think those are the only ones that they really looked at. And they wanted to see, mostly because our research really looks at inflammation and insulin resistance and mm-hmm. how it links to risk for breast cancer in general.
Right.
So
And not IGF-1, huh? You didn't look at IGF-1?
We did not look at IGF-1.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and as far as the inflammatory markers, you said tumor necrosis factor. Actually, C-reactive protein. I'm sorry.
C-reactive protein, yeah. Tumor necrosis factor, and IL-6.
Right. Okay. So, So how long were these individuals on this, their prospective diets?
On the diet, it was for 1 year long.
Wow.
And they also attended group sessions, which were focused on cognitive behavioral therapy. So they met with us every week for 4 months, and then every other week for 2 months, and then monthly for the last 6 months. And everybody, we tracked everybody at MyFitnessPal, so we set their caloric values as well as their macronutrient intake on MyFitnessPal. They gave us tracking sheets once a week, so that way we can see if they were pretty much sticking to what we had assigned for them. And then the walnut intake they would eat 1.5 ounces of walnuts every day for a year. And gladly, 93% of those walnut consumers stuck to the diet. I know it was tough for some of them, but they did really well, and that was what we saw in the blood value. So we were able to measure whether or not they were eating the walnuts, looking at a couple of different factors, and I can't remember offhand what those were, but we were able to see if they were compliant. They also were tracking whether or not they ate their 10.5 ounces a week of walnuts when they would come in to pick them up. So we were able to kind of track them two different ways. What we found was we looked at insulin status, and we found that when we did an equation when they were first randomized into the study to see if they were predicted to be insulin sensitive or insulin resistant. And by month six, we found that 37% of our insulin resistant women became insulin sensitive in 6 months, which was awesome. So we overall were targeting over a 1 year time span, 7% weight loss. By 6 months, we had reached 7.5% among all the groups. So we found that there wasn't really a differential response in weight loss if you were insulin resistant across the groups. If you were insulin sensitive, it looked like the lower fat diet assignment did the best, which was kind of surprising, but also in that diet assignment, they found that the HDL level did go down significantly.
So wait. So you said that those who were insulin sensitive did better on the lower fat diet.
On the lower fat diet, yeah. And it was significantly different. So it was, you know, when you look at statistics, they're not, you know, huge numbers, but they lost more weight compared to the lower carb and the walnut intake. So it was like 8.3% by 6 months on a lower fat diet assignment if you were insulin sensitive, compared to 5.4% weight loss if you were lower carbohydrate, or 7.9% if you were on the walnut diet.
I can understand why that happens.
Yeah.
Because if fat will be used as energy if you're keto adapted. If you're eating a lot of fat and virtually no carbs, the body will preferentially shift to producing ketone bodies to run as much as it can, saving glucose for the brain and other things. But if you're getting both carbs and fat in your diet with some regularity, then I think the body goes, well, we'll just store this because we've got plenty of glucose-producing substrates to use for now.
It makes sense.
See, this is something we started to talk about on this show a long time ago. And that is when you look at things from an evolutionary perspective. You know, our evolutionary ancestors didn't catch an elk and then go, you know what would taste good with this elk? Some broccoli. Let's go get broccoli. No, they ate that one food. Their diets were phasic, and the basic phases were availability. And chances are, when times got tough, fat was a really, really important thing to keep the metabolic motor running. And I have a feeling we evolved not to eat a well-balanced plate with a little of this, a little of that, and a little of that, of all the different food groups, but in fact, more focus, where we're eating high protein in this meal, and then maybe later on in the day, we're going to eat a lot of fat. I have this strange feeling that we're going to discover that as time goes on, and this is part of the rationale, that when you have carbs in the diet and fat in the diet, the body does something different with the fat than when you have no carbs and fat.
Yeah, and I think it's the kind of carbs that you pick, too. So if you're picking more complex carbohydrates or carbohydrates from vegetables and whole grains, you probably do better because of the fiber component versus if you're picking Twinkies and donuts.
Right. Okay, we have to take a break.
Okay.
All right, when we come back, I want to pick up on the other side, talk more about what you learned in the research. This is really, really good stuff to talk about because, again, we've learned that science is conditional. Everything is conditional. Science is not like math. There are lots of conditions that can change outcomes, and obviously in this particular group, a fat-rich diet was beneficial, as we're going to find out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Madebyhemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
AnabolicMinds.com. BuildingMuscle.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
For the best in real world, no nonsense. Nonsense result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information. Read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
DJ Yoda, here we go.
Welcome back. We're talking with Elizabeth Quintana. She's a registered dietitian over at UCSD School of Medicine. We're talking about a recent study that looked at cholesterol level improvements and weight loss with healthy fat-rich diets. So we talked about the weight loss, and that's all good and well, but the reality is that the cholesterol effects of this diet are the most exciting to me. So talk about that.
Yeah. So we found that in all three diets, there was a significant reduction in total cholesterol in all three diet assignments. Except for insulin-resistant women in the lower carbohydrate group, they did lower their cholesterol, but it wasn't significant. They found that there was a significant reduction in triglycerides compared to baseline in all the different diet groups, and both for insulin statuses, whether you're insulin-resistant or insulin-sensitive. And then there was a reduction in good cholesterol, which I told you about, in the lower-fat diet group. So that was a little bit concerning, but kind of expected as well. So when you compare it to the walnut group, they actually had a significant increase in the HDL cholesterol, which is what a lot of people have trouble trying to improve. And they found that it was much more significant, of course, compared to the lower carbohydrate group as well. They found, let me think, there were some other things that were really interesting. There was a significant decrease in LDL cholesterol among the low-fat group and the walnut group, but the walnut-rich diet group had the most notable reduction in percentage of participants with high cholesterol, if that makes any sense.
Wonder what the evolutionary angle is on why, when insulin-resistant, cholesterol goes up. There's got to be, the body is perfect. The body does everything for a reason. None of it's by accident.
There is, and I know there's a whole relationship between inflammation, insulin resistance, and increased adiposity. I know that they have a dynamic together, and that's what they're trying to tease out, and there's a lot of different theories on how one influences the other, and it's like a cascade that occurs. So the
what about estrogen levels and insulin resistance, estrogen levels, and the changing landscape of cholesterol fractions?
There's something, and if I can explain this correctly, we know that adipose tissue is recognized as having an endocrine function.
Yes.
So it secretes hormones like leptin and a diverse range of different proteins that signal factors involving lipid metabolism.
But it also has an enzyme called aromatase, which converts any androgen, DHEA, anything that can aromatize into estrogens, estradiol,
right.
Most notably.
And that's why they're calling obesity as low-grade inflammation right now. So if you can reduce one's weight and try to find the correct macronutrient distribution to tell people this is what you need to lose weight depending on your insulin status, that's what we're trying to figure out, is what's the best recommendation we can make.
See, there's only one contradiction there. So estradiol activates fibroblast activation factor on every cell, which completely suppresses inflammation on an acute level. So, in other words, if you're in a car accident,
oops, are you still there?
And you hit your head, your body will convert androgens to estradiol immediately to suppress inflammation through this FAF pathway. So, and what we're learning now from research on men who receive testosterone therapy with or without an aromatase inhibitor is that men who get an aromatase inhibitor hold on to their body fat and even produce more body fat. And in some of the emerging research within the anti-aging community when looking at hormone therapy, replacement therapies with women, they're starting to understand that the body produces fat because it wants more estrogen. When you get women's estrogen levels up higher, they start to undergo a lipolytic effect, and fat cells start to shrink. So, could it be that estrogen starts to drop in the face of insulin resistance, and the body produces more fat because it wants more estrogen for women?
I think there's a little tweak there. So after menopause, and this is why I keep going back to the postmenopausal status, your body is naturally trying to reduce its levels of estrogen. So when you have increased adiposity, it actually produces higher levels because
right.
It does act as an endocrine function. So it increases your levels of estradiol, which increases your risk for breast cancer. So I know that that has a function to do with insulin resistance, and then altogether they have something to do with inflammation, but I'm pretty sure inflammation is the first thing that causes the insulin resistance, and then the adiposity increases the estradiol altogether.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
And so that's why...
Did you see the study? We talked about it 2 weeks ago, about if you don't masticate your walnuts, if you don't chew your walnuts
yep.
properly, you don't really get the caloric value in the fat because it just
yes.
passes through you. Did you give these individuals instructions? Now chew your walnuts good?
No, we actually, because that study didn't come out until, I think it came out last year, and it's about 21% of the calories from walnuts that you don't absorb altogether. So we didn't tell them anything. In this particular study, if they wanted to grind the walnuts, if they wanted to flavor them, whatever they wanted to do, we told them just go ahead and eat them. Since then, this other study came out, and now we have another study that we're conducting now that's looking at satiety levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're telling them you can't grind your walnuts, you have to eat them. And the way that we get the walnuts is they're walnut particles, so they're not whole walnuts, but they're walnut pieces. So we're telling them you can't blend them, you can't butter them this time. We're asking them not to have any other nuts in the other diet arm at all, whereas in this study we were allowing them to have other nuts if they wanted to, just not walnuts. We didn't encourage it. We didn't discourage it. We told them, you know, if you want to have your peanut butter, have your peanut butter. But, you know, it's as we didn't keep this study as one nut study altogether, so we didn't have it just as walnuts. Some people might have had peanut butter, they might have had other nuts in general. So in this next study that we're conducting, it's really more strict on the nut guidelines.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you hope that clinicians and lay people take away from this research?
You know, for clinicians, you know, it might be the first step in terms of treating somebody with high cholesterol or low HDL to maybe recommend walnuts before they put them on a statin. That would be great to see. For the layperson, I tell, you know, as soon as people finish the study, I say, start eating your walnuts, whether you're on the walnut arm or not. Because what we saw, and even some of the reports that we got individually from different participants, and this wasn't anything that we were tracking, so we didn't report it, but some people started decreasing their pain medication. I talked to somebody yesterday who said that she had stopped having cramps from endometriosis because she thinks it's because of the walnuts that she's consuming. So it's little things like that that kind of go a long way, and it makes me think, you know, and if you look on the walnuts, California Walnuts, it's walnuts.org, they have a lot of different research going on with walnuts, and, you know, it's indisputable. They're really good for you, and if you can replace some kind of saturated fat protein with walnuts, then you're probably doing yourself a better service by increasing your essential fatty acids. You're going to get more fiber. You're not going to get cholesterol. You're going to get more flavonoids and polyphenols. So if you can do something like that, I think it would be great. Plus, we now know that you don't absorb about 21% of those calories. Not to say that you should be eating more walnuts because of that, but for the most part, you know that you're not, it's not going to lend you toward increasing your weight, because we know that we can actually use weight for, or we can use walnuts for weight loss.
You know, there's something else in walnuts that is not discussed, but could really have some of the beneficial effects of walnuts, and that's melatonin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't even know that.
Yeah. See, Dr. Russell Ryder, who is known as the godfather of the pineal gland, he's published over 600 studies on the pineal gland and its associated hormones, was on my show many years ago and said that there's melatonin in walnuts, and that's why they may have an anti-inflammatory effect.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's another thing that needs to be looked at. But, you know, I love walnuts, and I usually try to eat a handful a couple times a day as one of my fat
sources.
That's
perfect. So I think what the recommendation that we have was an ounce and a half, which is a little bit over a fourth of a cup. And they go a long way. And honestly, everybody else on our staff started eating walnuts because of this study.
I chew the heck out of my walnuts, because if I'm paying for them, I want the calories on it.
You know, I tried making walnut butter once, and it broke my blender. So after that, I just started eating them whole.
Did it? Really? And I've been actually thinking about making walnut butter for that reason. So it's too hard for the blender, huh?
Well, for mine it was. I think it was maybe an old-school blender. But other people in the study blended them just fine. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to add anything. You just put them in the blender and blend them until they're to the consistency that you would like. So that's the nice thing, is you don't put any sugar in them. You don't put anything else. You just blend them, put them in the refrigerator, and that's it.
Dang, I'm going to try that. Listen, I want to thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on the show today.
Oh, it was so fun talking with you. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, take care.
All right, you too. Have a good rest of your day.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Thomas Seyfried's going to join us, and we're going to explore the realities of the ketogenic diet versus chemotherapy in the treatment of cancer. Stay tuned. It's going to get really good now.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off
off your entire order. Made by Hemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
No.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code Superhuman Radio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Do you know why at 58 years old I don't wear reading glasses? Because of Can-See eye drops. I'm telling you. I've been using Can-See eye drops since 2008. And one drop in each eye every single morning, and I can read small print up close like I was able to when I was in my 30s. If you go to wisechoicemedicine.com, you can learn more about Can-See eye drops. This stuff is legit. This isn't hype. Millions of people around the world use Can-See eye drops for a variety of intraocular and ocular problems. Great stuff. Check it out. WiseChoiceMedicine.com. So a couple years ago, we had my next guest on the show when he published a book, Cancer as a Metabolic Disorder, and it was a game-changing book, and that's Dr. Thomas Seyfried. How you doing, Dr. Seyfried?
Very well. Thank you, Carl.
And I'm really excited to have you on today because you are going to talk about something that has a question that I have asked both verbally and in my own mind over and over again. Even thinking of myself in terms of, well, what if I got cancer? Would I have the courage to do a strict ketogenic diet, even maybe using some ketone supplements to kind of jumpstart the process, some intermittent fasting, and go that route? Or would I say, no, I better go for the physically destroying chemotherapy? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the ketogenic diet versus chemotherapy as a treatment for cancer. So let's start with this question, okay? I know that they've done research on the ketogenic diet as a follow-up diet after chemotherapy, and they've shown that the return rate of the cancer in the keto group was just so minimized that it was significant, and a study was published. And I even asked that scientist, I can't remember her name, why not just do the keto diet by, no, you got to do the standard of care is chemo first. Can you not hear me? Can you hear me now, Dr. Seyfried? Hello? Oh, man, I'm having problems with my microphone lately, it looks like. Can you hear me, Hello? Dr. Seyfried? Can you hear me?
You're breaking in. You're breaking up on me.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on right now, but it may just be the phone line. Can you hear me okay right now?
I can hear you fine right now.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. Is it irresponsible to think that we could treat cancer with strictly the ketogenic diet and forego chemotherapy?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we can do that completely at this point, because most of our work and our studies have been done in preclinical models of cancer, and we use that as a standalone therapy. However, we are learning that this is an approach using metabolic therapy involving ketogenic diets. We think can work better and more effectively if combined with certain drugs that would work synergistically with this therapy.
Let me guess, like metformin?
Well, metformin is one of those drugs that is currently used largely for people with type 2 diabetes. But, because people think it lowers blood sugar, perhaps it also could be used with ketogenic diets. But metformin has other actions. And it's not really sure the mechanism by which it might help reduce some cancer. Metformin is not a powerful drug. I don't think metformin is going to lead us to any solutions. Not to say that it won't delay the growth a little bit, but it's certainly not going to eliminate cancer cells by itself, or perhaps even with other drugs. Can it help for some people? Yes. It's not completely clear if it's going to be effective for everyone, but I would consider it a small-time player. I'm not going to consider metformin as something that's going to be a blockbuster in managing cancer.
We've done shows over the past few years where we've actually had people on the show who've cured their own cancer using the ketogenic diet. Obviously, these are individual situations, N equals one type stuff, so you really can't go, this is the answer. But more recently, we had Andrew Scarborough on from the UK. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yes, I know him.
Okay, he had been sent home after radiation and chemo didn't work. Chemo doesn't make it into the brain. Radiation actually made his tumor somewhat larger. And he was able to arrest his tumor using only the ketogenic diet. Do you think that the ketogenic diet is fast-acting enough where some cancers could be treated exclusively with it?
That's another difficult question, and it's very individual. From my experience, some people do remarkably well on this therapy, and if it's done correctly under appropriate medical supervision, oftentimes the results are better than if people try to do it on their own. We've published guidelines that caregivers and patients can use to determine whether or not this approach might be effective. It's a glucose ketone index calculator that we published, and it tells patients if their blood sugar is low enough and if their blood ketones are high enough to put them in this therapeutic zone.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find is if people can remain in the zone, they generally do better than those individuals that cannot remain in the zone.
So physiologically, what keeps them from remaining in the zone? Assuming that they're not eating any carbs, they're eating at least a 2-to-1 fat-to-protein ratio, what is unique about some people's physiology and metabolism that would start to maybe push blood sugar up somehow?
Well, it's not just blood sugar. It's the ratio of the blood sugar to the ketones in millimolar.
Okay.
So, because as we all know, blood sugar is quite capricious, very variable from one part of the day to the next. Some people could, wake up in the morning, find they have very high blood sugars. And later in the afternoon, they're very low. There's an emotional stress issue associated with sugar. Blood glucose, that is, of course. Blood glucose. I mean, this is a very variable marker. But if ketones seem to be a little bit less variable than the blood glucose, so if you divide your blood glucose levels by the blood ketone levels, the ratio is much less variable than are either of the two parameters.
Mm.
So, you know, people might come in and say, oh, geez, my blood sugar's up at 110, I'm freaking out, maybe my tumor's growing. But then they find they also have a very high blood ketone, and when they divide it, then it doesn't look so out of whack.
Mm.
So this gives people a better sense of their metabolic stability. And this varies from one person to the next. So someone who may have a blood sugar of 80 milligrams per deciliter, or a little over 4 millimolar or something like this, and they have a 5 millimolar ketone, I mean, you divide it, it's less than 1.0, well, they're clearly in the metabolic zone despite the fact that they may have some blood sugar fluctuations.
Interesting. What about the use of ketone supplements? There's plenty of over-the-counter products now, ketone salts, Pat Arnold
yeah.
produces. Do we see, is it possible that these could make their way into a traditional cancer care?
Well, they could. I've never tested any of this. And I don't like to make any statements or claims until I've actually had the opportunity to evaluate the therapeutic action of these products in the preclinical systems that we have here, because these systems replicate very closely what goes on in humans that have these cancers. So until I see how supplements might help, I know I have to wait until I see this. However, some of my colleagues, like Dominic DiAgostino and Angela Poff from the University of South Florida, they've been looking into some of these supplements and have reported that, in their opinion, they could enhance some of the therapeutic action of a ketogenic diet.
You know, you point out that the ketogenic diet should be administered under the supervision of a doctor, but how many doctors today, especially oncologists, that the average person would end up in their office with a type of cancer, would even suggest this type of diet? Are we making any breakthroughs and disseminating this information to the masses?
Well, I mean, you touched upon an extremely important and relevant point, and that is, unfortunately, most of the oncologists that work in the major hospitals and cancer centers have never been trained to know how to do this, and much less understand the biology of the disease in which they work. So, you know, this is a real issue. But in my experience, I see more nutritionists and naturopathic physicians who seem to be who have the training in the background to better understand and appreciate how to apply this. So this is where we are beginning to see this. Although I have to admit now, a number of medical doctors, MDs, are coming on board and they're eager to learn how to apply this mm-hmm. as a therapy. So it takes time and education before this becomes more mainstream.
Do you foresee a whole segment of medical grade foods coming out in the future as a result of a lot of this research that's being done on ketone bodies and cancer, especially things like free form amino acids, but the non-glucogenic type, plus maybe coconut oil or even some refined medium chain triglycerides to put people on these types of supplements as food during a period of time where you're trying to arrest the cancer with ketones?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, again, it needs to be explored more carefully. The medium chain triglycerides have already been in use for treating. I mean, some of our metabolic therapies include that. And some of the children that were initially treated, the children with brain cancer, pediatric oncology, those kids were given medium chain triglycerides as part of their diet, as a major part of their diet, and they responded remarkably well. And we learn a lot. A lot of the questions and the answers, the questions as well as the answers, have already been vetted in the field of epilepsy, where mm-hmm. where thousands of children are today being treated with these metabolic therapies, including medium chain triglyceride oils. The idea that perhaps some amino acids may work synergistically with mm-hmm. the oils, mm-hmm. And to manage epileptic seizures. Now, it's not too much of a stretch to transition some of this knowledge and approaches to the oncology, especially pediatric oncology, where almost nothing is being done to help these children that have these devastating brain tumors.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be coming back on the other side with Dr. Thomas Seyfried, talking more about chemotherapy versus the ketogenic diet in the treatment of cancers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors. A naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms. So sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. You remember his book we talked about back in early 2013, Cancer as a Metabolic Disorder or Disease. Was it Cancer as a Metabolic Disease or Disorder?
Yes, it was Cancer as a Metabolic Disease on the Origin, Management, and Prevention of Cancer.
This was a groundbreaking book because, you know, I have a frustration about cancer treatment. And maybe it's because I'm a layperson, but looking at cancer from a genetic standpoint, and I understand people have genetic predispositions, okay? Like, for instance, I'm genetically predisposed to drown if I try to breathe water. So if I jump in the water and I want to breathe and I drown, there's no geneticist going, you know, if we could just change his genes, we can make him breathe in the water. No, they'd say, look, dummy, don't jump in the water and try to breathe. And this is my frustration with the whole genetic angle, which we're wasting billions of dollars on, in my opinion. And again, I apologize if I'm, you know, really coming out of left field here. And I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a guy who talks on the radio. But it just frustrates me that we're spending billions of dollars on the whole genetic link to cancer, when clearly there is so much more evidence showing that it has much more to do with lifestyle, activity, inactivity, sleep patterns, the foods you eat. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the analogy I gave. Now, I want to be able to breathe water, and I'll be damned. Somebody change my genes. You know, it's like.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you raise a very important point. Yeah, the whole idea that cancer is a genetic disease is a massive misconception, unfortunately, and it has led us into the on trails that have been less than fruitful. This idea that cancer is a genetic disease is based on the somatic mutation theory of cancer, which means that the cells collect mutations from various environmental insults, from viruses, age, carcinogens, radiation, these kinds of things. And these mutations in these cells that are exposed are thought to be the drivers of the abnormal growth of the cells. So, and it turns out that there are so many different types and kinds of mutations in these cancer cells, some of which are considered the driver and some of which are considered passengers. And the field has focused for several decades on trying to target what they think are the gene mutations that are driving the disease, with the idea that if we can target these genes, stop the products that they produce or interfere with their mechanism of action, we can manage the disease. And this strategy would be okay if those mutations that we see are actually driving the disease. And now it's becoming overwhelmingly clear to those individuals who take the time to look at the literature and actually read the papers to realize that these mutations are downstream effects of damage to the respiratory capacity of the cell, the ability of that cell to use oxygen to make energy. So this is a very important concept, and it's related to the metabolic origin, the mitochondrial metabolic origin of the disease. And once you realize that, this disease becomes very manageable for longer periods of time. You can prevent it, and you can manage it by less complicated strategies than are presently used today, and are making the vast majority of people think this is an extremely complicated disease requiring Herculean efforts to manage the disease. This is because people think it's the establishment thinks it's a genetic disease, and therefore they say cancer is not one disease, it's thousands of diseases,
right.
Therefore it's going to require thousands of different approaches. This is fundamental nonsense when you understand the real biology of the disease, because one thing that all the tumor cells have in common, regardless of what kind of mutations they have, is they have a tendency to use primitive sources of energy, fermentation processes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to deprive or target the fermentation capacity of the cells than it is to try to devise thousands of different approaches to target all these different gene mutations. And this then is a huge schism in the field, because if cancer is really a mitochondrial metabolic disease, solutions become apparent. Non-toxic approaches become apparent. So financial approaches to way we manage the disease become apparent. So until this concept becomes more widely understood and accepted, we will persist with these overall failed and expensive and toxic therapies that we are presently confronted with.
But these are learned individuals who are bright. I don't believe there's a conspiracy theory afoot. I do believe that when you've invested a lot of effort and time into something, science goes out the window and ideology becomes the driving force, and you're reluctant to give up your position. You're reluctant to not dig your heels in. But clearly, there's got to be people out there who are working on the genetic side of this going, wow, you know, these are evident to us too. Or, when you talk to people within the traditional cancer community, do you hear some of them going, wow, you know, this is really interesting. We're starting to see this as well.
Well, I think you touched upon a very important point, and that's the ideology, which is based in a dogma. And a dogma is an irrefutable truth. It's something that is accepted by the majority of individuals that work within an area or in a belief system. And you're right, ideology derives from dogma. And once you have spent your entire career investigating a particular concept on a dogmatic view, it's almost impossible to change despite the evidence that would be presented. It simply cannot be accepted. And then you have to put in the institutions that have been built up around
right.
the dogma, which is the National Cancer Institute. The major cancer hospitals in the world are locked into the dogma. The pharmaceutical companies are blended in with all of these organizations. So you have an academic industry, you have a pharmaceutical industry, you have a healthcare industry, you have a government industry.
Uh-huh.
All of these industries are in lockstep with the dogma, the textbook industry, and you rarely see, what I'm telling you now is rarely discussed or written about other than in some specialized scientific journals.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk. Are you familiar with the folks at Quest Nutrition in California?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to talk about their dog sanctuary. I want you to explain to me the results that they're having there, if we can make any assumptions or overlay some of that results with humans. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. We're talking about chemotherapy versus the ketogenic diet and treatment of cancer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried about the ketogenic diet versus chemotherapy and the treatment of cancers. I love Quest Nutrition. And it's not because they make great products. And I know that they've had some challenges with some of their recipes and they've had a change. And people get all caught up in Quest from a supplement producing company standpoint. But I see something different in Quest Nutrition. Quest Nutrition is a learning organization, and they are pioneering in spirit. Much of the money that they generate is reinvested into things of interest. One of their things of interest is cancer treatment. Very, very big and noble cause for a company that makes protein powder, protein bars, and protein potato chips, which I live on, quite frankly. They have a dog sanctuary in Texas, and they recently underwrote a ketogenic I don't know what you call it, get-together in Florida recently. Did you attend that, Dr. Seyfried?
Yes, I did.
I heard it was amazing. I'll be there next year for sure. Well,
okay.
They have done amazing things with dogs there, Dr. Seyfried. They have completely reversed some very aggressive cancers in dogs. Now, in Ron Pena's own words, you know, researchers have to go out and write, you know, requests for funding to spend $30,000 on a study, and Quest can say, we're going to spend $50,000 per dog. Let's see what happens. And they're curing cancer. So you're aware of the results they're having, the success they're having there, right?
Well, I had the opportunity to hear their lecture, talk to them, and I was appreciative of their acknowledgement that this approach was based largely on the work we've done here at Boston College.
Okay. So
I'm very familiar with the success of their approach, and I have personal experience with similar kinds of approaches with dogs that overlap very, very nicely with what they're seeing.
Is there something unique about dogs that we go, oh, yeah, this is a really great breakthrough for dogs, but I just don't know if humans are going to see the same thing?
Well, I mean, you have to realize that the treatment of the dogs and what we do here in our preclinical models with mice, we're using these metabolic therapies as an upfront therapy. We're not at first treating these animals with horrific toxic poisons and radiation. And I think the outcome of these therapies, whether a mouse, a dog, or a human, will be seen more dramatically and effectively if you use these as a first line of therapy rather than as a last line of therapy. So the dogs have a very interesting physiology, but basically they're giving a somewhat calorie restricted ketogenic diet with hyperbaric oxygen. And as the first line of approach, and they've also shown that very, very low doses of some other kinds of chemotherapeutic drugs can actually work even better when combined with these metabolic approaches. So the issue of toxicity is then significantly reduced or completely eliminated, whereby gaining some of the benefit from the drug. So their success, at least in the report that I saw, was we don't know cure, but certainly a resolution of the disease to the point where we saw this in 12 out of 15 dogs. You know, this is an astonishing success rate for advanced metastatic cancer in for any species. So so I saw the results, and I also have I've worked directly with dog owners. And showed how changing the diet of the dog to a more natural diet, what these dogs evolved to actually eat, which is raw meat, raw eggs, and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, these tumors get hammered. It's really remarkable, and over a relatively short period of time. So yes, you know, and I think that the success of the Quest approach. And if they publish this in a document, peer-reviewed journal that the scientific community will have the opportunity to evaluate, then I think that this will serve as the impetus for saying, you know, maybe we should think about doing some of this in humans. But as I said to you before, there is a tremendous resistance on the part of the oncology cancer communities not to do anything like this.
Well, there's actually a lobbying group that works very hard to keep chemotherapy as the standard of care, the standard of treatment for cancer treatment. Because they know, I mean, they know this is poison, it's harmful. You know, I can't emphasize enough. I did a meme about 3 years ago that said treating cancer with chemotherapy is akin to burning down the house because you have a stain on your carpet. And you know, we should be looking for other alternatives. And as you point out, so chemo maybe has a place. You can use less of it when you're using this, this therapeutic diet and maybe some therapeutic supplements, at the same time. So it's not like, oh no, the industry is going to go up in flames, but clearly, it would be more effective. So looking at what they're doing with dogs there. I come back to this question, and I understand that there are standards of care, and doctors and scientists can really get in trouble with making suggestions that are outside that standard of care. But with that being said, do you think we will see a time in the future where the ketogenic diet will in fact be the first thing an oncologist recommends before going, well, it's not responding, we need to do something to save your life now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, this would be an ideal situation. And, you know, we're confronted with the same, issue with the epilepsy, condition, the population of children with epilepsy. I have colleagues at different major medical schools who would want to treat children with epilepsy first with ketogenic diets. And if the diet didn't work, then perhaps we might consider a drug that might help or work together synergistically with the diet, rather than starting these poor children on these very also kinds of toxic drugs. And then only when the drug doesn't fail do we then consider a ketogenic diet as an alternative to the drug. We have it all backwards. If a natural metabolic therapy can do the job and do it effectively without toxicity, it makes common sense to use that. So if it's not being done, then there's other issues that are impeding for the way we go about doing this. And I think you're right. The the treatment of cancer patients is done by committee for the protection of the physicians that are treating these
right.
the patients. So this is, and therefore we must continue, the field feels that it must continue in these standards of care, which are far less effective than they should be. And I don't hold the physicians responsible for this.
Not at all.
I hold the system responsible
yes.
for this.
Yes.
And until the system changes, and you know, there are reports that the same kind of situation existed for the AIDS, the individuals that had AIDS, not getting the appropriate treatments that they wanted for the failure to do you know, double blind crossover controlled studies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that community is extremely well organized and extremely political and vocal, and they demanded on the part of the federal government to dispense with all this nonsense and get to the what can we use to keep people alive longer and at a higher quality of life. So these AIDS cocktail drugs came out, and the situation is pretty well managed now compared to the way it was. Until that happens with the cancer field, I don't see any change in the system that we have in place with these standards of care.
Yeah. I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like to discuss with you anything new that's been discovered since we did the interview. About your book, Cancer as a Metabolic Disorder, because I just had this thought when you were talking about epilepsy. So we know the ketogenic diet is effective in treating epilepsy, but there seems to be a relationship with magnesium status in the brain and how effective the ketogenic diet is in treating epilepsy. And it may be that in those non-responders, they may need to supplement with some magnesium in order to see. Do we know anything new about the ketogenic diet and treating cancer that we didn't know last time we spoke to you? How about that? We'll wrap up the interview with that, okay?
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation.
Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. He's got a great book, Cancer as a Metabolic Disorder. It's a really important book for people to read. Since that book has been published, have you learned anything new, anything that gives the ketogenic diet an edge in the treatment of cancer?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think when you look at the numbers of papers now that have been published in peer-reviewed top-line journals in the scientific fields of oncology and nutrition and these kinds of things, I mean, there's been a rather dramatic increase in other studies, in preclinical and human studies, showing evidence for the success or the potential success of this therapy for managing cancer. And I think that's, so the scientific community is certainly becoming more and more interested in this, because the science behind what we've been saying is real. And I think once we learn how to use this diet as a medical tool, we'll be able to see much greater advances, because we're using food as medicine. This is a medical therapy that is strongly based on what the biological problem of the cancer cells actually is. And this metabolic medical therapy is targeting the very essence of what's keeping those cells alive. And I think more and more scientists are coming on board with this, more and more oncologists and physicians, and it's just a matter of time before this becomes eventually a mainstream form of therapy, equaling what we're doing now in the field of epilepsy. And I think it's an approach that requires the metabolic therapy together with a cocktail of drugs and procedures that I am absolutely convinced will significantly advance or maintain a health and quality of life and a resolution of this disease far greater than what we have today.
Well, yeah, because we won't have the disease anymore if we understand its genesis. So there's a new lab test called Oncoblot that can detect up to 25 different cancers in your body. So with a test like that and a therapy like the ketogenic diet, I mean, somebody could get regular Oncoblot tests and at the first sign that something's going on, immediately shift into a state of ketosis and stay there for 6 or 8 months and then be tested again and find out that this cancer is gone. I mean, that seems very non-invasive, easy to do, rudimentary.
Yes, absolutely. And I would think that would be a wonderful combination of two an early diagnosis and a preventative. Because I think if you catch these cells early enough, you can reverse them. You can either kill them or reverse their metabolism to a more normal state. So I agree with you, and I think the strategies and the protocols for doing that have not yet been put in place, but certainly that would be a way to significantly reduce the incidence of the disease.
There's a lot of discussion that the ketogenic diet and ketone bodies in general are ineffective at controlling non-glycolytic cancers, right? The cancers that don't really need sugar to stay alive. How many of those cancers are there, and is it true? Are we learning anything about those cancers and how they respond to the ketogenic diet?
Yeah, that's a really important point, and we're investigating that ourselves right now very actively, because we do know that there are some tumor cells that have a greater propensity for using glutamine and certain amino acids, equal or even more than that of glucose. And those diets, while certainly therapeutically beneficial because it makes the overall your body healthy, those tumors will still grow despite using a calorie-restricted diet that reduces glucose and elevates ketones, because those cells seem to have a propensity for using glutamine and possibly some other minor amino acids. And we're actively investigating this because we think that if we can target both of those fuels using diet-drug combinations, we'll be able to manage this disease. I have no question in my mind that we will be able to do this because once we deal with the players and we can take them out of the picture, these cells will not be able to survive or grow.
So the cells themselves are converting, because glutamine is one of the glucogenic amino acids that can convert to glucose. So the cells themselves are converting it?
No. The cells will. That would have to happen in the liver, and you'd have to have significant elevations of these. I mean, this is what happens in cancer cachexia, where muscles are broken down, and some of the amino acids will be metabolized to glucose in the liver, and of course that will be feeding the tumor. That's a cachectic environment, but
right.
We can deal with that. We know how to deal with that. So the issue, of course, is that glutamine is the most abundant amino acid in the bloodstream. So, I mean, to have that as a wild player still running around feeding some of these tumor cells. And we and others have shown that the metastatic cancer cell, the cell that actually metastasizes, which is the most difficult kind of cell to control, is of the immune system itself.
Mm.
And these immune cells thrive on glutamine. Glutamine is their primary fuel.
Right.
So you need to recognize that. If you want to manage metastatic cancer that spreads through your body, you better understand the biology of the cell that you're working with. Otherwise, you're not going to make the progress. And this is, for whatever reason, the field feels they're locked into this gene theory, and by being locked into that theory, it closes their minds to the other biological aspects of the disease. Well, we're not locked into that theory, so we are open to targeting and stopping the fuels that are driving the tumor cell. You raise an extremely important point. However, some drugs work extremely well with the ketogenic diet. And to me, this is going to be the way to manage the disease. We call it press pulse. You press the body in a healthy way with ketogenic diets certain types of vegan diets and these kinds of things. They're very healthy. They put calorie restriction on the body. The normal cells get healthy. The tumor cells are not growing as actively. And then you come in with a low dose of non-toxic drugs that work together with the diet, and you manage the disease by maintaining a high quality of life and health. This is the way it will work. I have no doubt that this is going to be the ultimate solution to this cancer problem.
Cachexia was also a problem with AIDS. And Michael Murphy, who was on my show a couple years ago, wrote a book, I can't think of the name of it, Built to Survive. And it was written for AIDS patients, and it was all about anabolic steroid protocols used by bodybuilders that ended up allowing AIDS patients to live beyond the projected years that they would live by creating an environment where the body was robust and thriving instead of rotting away and degrading. Yeah. So do you think that when treating cachexia, and that cachexia is feeding a cancer that is looking for glucose through the gluconeogenic process in the liver, do you think that could somehow Because I know when you use anabolic steroids, it raises nitrogen levels, and you tend to recycle amino acid pools instead of letting them go into the bloodstream. Do you think that we could ever see anabolic steroids being used in conjunction with treating cancers?
Well, that I don't know, Carl. I really can't state. I don't know that because I haven't tested it. And I would have to look more carefully into how that might come into play. At this point, I can't make any comments on that.
The sad part is that anabolic steroids are effective at doing certain things, but they have become the third rail of medicine because of sports, which is silly. I mean, it's just silly that abuse in a sport could end up dictating how medicine views one of the arrows in its quiver. And it's very, very sad. But I would love to find out if there is a role for anything that has an anabolic action.
As long as it wouldn't disturb the balance or cause greater availability of the fuels that are driving the tumor.
Right.
So, I mean, we know glucose and glutamine are powerful fuels that work synergistically with each other to drive the tumor. Some steroids elevate blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of the targets that we're looking at and making sure that any add-ons are not going to make a greater availability of the fuels to the tumor cell. This has to be evaluated. Maybe the dog models could be doing this.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things we need to do, but I think we're on the right track. I don't know about the rest of the field, but we will make sure that this disease is going to be managed. We could do it in the next 10 years for sure.
Right. Right.
But the field is off on left field somewhere, looking at trying to target these genes. And you hear it from Cancer Treatment Centers of America. You hear it from the top medical schools, MD Anderson. You know, all the different schools are trying to target all these genes, and trying to manage the disease that way. And that tells you how powerful the dogma has been. And making everyone think that's the nature of the problem when it's not.
Sad. Very, very sad and very wasteful because there's people out there losing their lives while these guys
absolutely.
Are...
So, absolutely.
So, last question. IGF-1 is always implicated when we talk about cancer. IGF-1 is always something that they target to reduce when trying to treat cancer. Is IGF-1 really a major culprit in the development and progression of cancer?
Well, I think it plays a role for many cancers. I don't know about most, but many, because it's driving the same pathway that the glucose is driving. I mean, it's part of the metabolic pathway that leads to cell proliferation through AKT signaling. It upregulates vascular endothelial growth factor,
right,
which provides these. So it's a very powerful growth stimulatory pathway run by insulin-like growth factor. So you say insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1, is a close cousin of insulin. So when you see insulin elevated, IGF-1 is often elevated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is insulin elevated? Insulin's elevated because blood sugar is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So insulin and blood sugar and IGF-1 are all together.
Right.
And this is one of the very important issues that people don't understand. When you calorie restrict and go on these restricted diets, IGF-1, insulin, and glucose all go down. But in patients, people with cachexia, interestingly enough, insulin and glucose are high, and they're wasting away.
Uh-huh.
And they're losing weight while insulin and glucose are high, whereas in calorie-restricted ketogenic diets, the body weight is going down, but insulin and glucose are down. That kind of approach is extremely therapeutic, where the other condition, cachexia, is pathological.
Mm-hmm.
So these hormones and these growth factors and metabolic fuels often go together in groups. So once you understand how to change the whole physiology of the body into a restrictive state that's hammering the tumor cells but enhancing the health and vitality of the normal cells, this disease becomes not so mysterious and easily understood biologically, and therefore the strategies become far more rational and therapeutic.
Great discussion, Dr. Seyfried. Great discussion. The book is called Cancer as a Metabolic Disorder. You can get it at Amazon.com. I would imagine. You have a website that you prefer they go to?
Well, you know, I would, no, I mean, we have a book on cancer as a metabolic, and a Facebook page on my book. People make comments and things like this. But I also think people should know about Travis Christofferson's book on Tripping Over the Truth, The Metabolic Theory of Cancer. He'd be an interesting guy to have on your show, because he distilled down a lot of what I had in my book and made it available to the lay public. And he actually interviewed a lot of the individuals at these genetic centers for cancer and came away basically with the idea that cancer is a metabolic disease, not a genetic disease.
Right.
And this is where the front is going to be. I think once our politicians and once the lay people begin to realize what's going on here, we might be able to see movement in the right direction.
Yeah. Forget about it if you're waiting for politicians. Forget about that. You
yeah,
know
well,
what?
Maybe.
Listen, people vote with their dollars. People make decisions every single day. You have to be a steward of your own health. You can't wait for this government to do anything in your behalf. The only time they change is when the industries that they're locked into say, okay, we're ready to change because we have a backup plan now to go to. You got to make these decisions on your own. You got to make good decisions on your own. That's it.
Well, you know, the reason I say that is because President Obama elicited or recruited Joe Biden to be the overseer of this so-called cancer moonshot that he mentioned in his State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mr. Biden had lost his son to glioblastoma, and I think his heart is in the right position here. So. You know, it depends on who he will talk to get the kind of advice that will be necessary to manage the disease. I think he's actually interested in controlling this cancer issue.
Right.
I think they just have to be speaking to the right kinds of people before they decide to make a huge financial commitment to a strategy that may be fundamentally flawed.
Right. Right.
So that's why when I say politicians, you know, there's a lot of problems with these guys, but sometimes if you get them on the right track, they can do a lot.
No, I agree. But the hard part is getting them on the right track because it usually takes
right.
a lot of money and a lot of influence to do that. And unfortunately, unless there's a company out there making foods, the medical grade foods for the treatment of cancer and the production of ketones, there's not an industry leg that has enough money to lobby the government to say, hey, you really need to look at this science. That's the problem as far as I'm
yeah.
concerned.
But I think that it has to come from the people because don't forget, the people are the consumers. They are the consumers of the therapies. And if their view on the nature of the problem begins to change, then the therapies are going to have to change in light of what they want.
God bless you because you're still optimistic. When this current president, this current administration took office, I played the clip on this show a few years ago where President Obama committed that we would label GMOs because people deserve to know what they're eating. Those were his exact words. We've had more genetically modified foods approved in this administration. I'm not blaming Obama. I'm saying the entire government, the whole administration. We've had more genetically modified foods approved under this administration than all other presidents before. So, again, I think that the grassroots is where the movement will be, and whether or not they catch up, people need to know what the right thing to do. You got to seek out the information. Listen, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. You're, the work that you're doing will be looked back upon hundreds of years from now. As a beacon for the truth. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care. All right, so that's it. Also want to thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour, walking back in time through Muscle Beach. And then, of course, Elizabeth, what was Elizabeth's last name? Isn't that terrible? I just spoke to her. Let's see. And thanks to Elizabeth Quintana, registered dietitian from UCSD, for talking to us about the role of fat in controlling lipids. It's not all about fat. Having fat in your diet actually can make beneficial changes to your cholesterol. All right, we'll see you right tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening today.
Not all so-called deodorants.